with ants, you know, let's say I put that out there, well, you're relying on them recruiting over your material in order to get a high enough body count to really knock that population down.
Yeah.
If I kill them too quickly, they stop recruiting over that area, and then, you know, just they're going to, I use this example, like the velociraptors in Jurassic Park. You know,
okay.
They keep testing out the cages. They keep testing areas.
Yeah.
Ants are going to kind of do the same thing. Those foraging trails are going to keep going out. And until ants are coming back with resources, that's when they're going to start recruiting. So,
welcome to Pest Posse TV, the ultimate hub for pest management professionals hungry for success. Brought to you by the Pest Posse, your trusted resource for pest control related training and information. The Pest Posse is here to arm you with the skills and knowledge needed to propel you toward unparalleled success in the pest control industry. Whether you're a seasoned pest management professional looking to sharpen your skills or just getting started in your pest control career, we've got you covered with riveting discussions, expert interviews, and insider insights that will not only educate but entertain. So get ready for a journey into the pest control industry like never before, right here on Pest Posse TV.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon when you're listening to this wonderful Pest Posse TV episode. I'm Cully Christensen, visionary and creator here at the Pest Posse, and I am joined by my fabulous partner, Captain Productivity, King of the Hill, all that good stuff, best-selling author. Who are you?
I'm me. That's who I am. I am the one and only me. Oh, you guys should know by now, I am Foster. Yeah, I just everything, head wrangler, just day-to-day operations. Turning
that's
out
right.
Just everything
the head
here.
Wrangler title. That's an important title right there.
It is an important title. That's the OG title for me. I'm just keeping everything together, making sure that the roof doesn't fall down and that the content still plops in your guys' lap every single Monday, and that has been happening consistently without missing a beat since 2017, which is amazing when we say that, how long we've been doing this for. I cannot believe that you have not gotten sick of me or thrown me out the window yet.
Well, it helps living 3 hours away.
Well, it does, I guess. Oh, man, yeah, because if you were in my face, I think we would probably hurt each other by now.
I think it would have been the other way around. You'd have kicked me out.
And today, yeah, we got a good one. This is the first of many that we're going to have here. We actually have Ryan Neff from MGK came into our office. He lives locally here close to the office. So he came on by and we did a few interviews with him. And today we're going to be talking about Samari and that product line through MGK. And just to kind of remind you guys with that and kind of do an update on that and let you guys all know what's happening with Samari and how that's all working out there for you PMPs. So this was an in-office interview. And again, you know, it's got some visual stuff. It wouldn't hurt you to go over to pestpossetv.com to go and check that out as well, too.
I agree. It's a product. It's out. I've used it. I enjoy it. And I think that it's a good tool to have in your toolbox. So let's get on and talk to Ryan.
All righty. Let's switcheroo things over. Ryan, welcome. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. It's always better to do this in studio than virtually. It just looks a lot better. So, yeah, we're going to be doing a few interviews with Ryan. MGK's got a lot of good products. Ryan is a wealth of information, so you're going to be seeing him on with this episode and some future episodes as well, too, because, again, MGK, you guys got a lot of great products and some good knowledge and some things that have been kind of reformulated that we're going to talk about. But today we're really going to be talking about ants, getting into really talking about Samari a little bit with that product to see how that's been going and all that. So so I think before we start out with, why don't you give everybody your 60-second elevator speech as far as who's Ryan?
So Ryan Neff, grew up in Central Texas, studied ants at Texas A&M, came out to the West Coast in 2010. Worked in a lab at UC Riverside, did my PhD down there, worked for a company out of Lodi for 4 years, and then been with MGK since 2019. So I'm the Western Technical Field Specialist, I guess is my title.
Okay, yeah, 2019, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We kind of left that company about the same time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Kind of
weird
amazing.
How that works.
Yeah. No, who knew? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Nothing against that. It was a good company. I enjoyed working there, so it was a good company. And have no regrets, but having a fun time. Yeah, I can't believe it's been, 2019. It's been
almost 5 years.
Now. I know, yeah. I know. I looked at that. I'm like, wow, I've been doing this almost 5 years. Wow, it's kind of crazy. But hey, you know, having fun with it. So again, I just appreciate your time because I know you're extremely busy with just everything you're doing there for MGK and just, you're just busy. But I appreciate you coming in and imparting your knowledge to all of the PMPs out there. That I think they're going to greatly appreciate everything we've got. So let's just kind of start out with this here, talking about ants and why does it seem like that really PMPs really kind of have a continual issue with controlling ants?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it varies probably from region to region. So, you know, here in California, you know, where we're at in the kind of Bay Area, getting into the northern part, you got Argentine ants, which you do throughout most of the West Coast. But up here, you got more odorous house ants. And then you get south of the Grapevine, and now all of a sudden you're dealing with rover ants. And I think specifically in Southern California, that's been a really big issue, is PMPs not necessarily distinguishing, you know, especially if they're brand new. If you've been around for a while, you'd know the difference between a rover ant and an Argentine ant. But, you know, even somewhere like California, where you have only a few main species that we deal with, the differences can be vast, because we know Argentine odorous house ants, you've got many different colonies. You know, a lot of times they're exchanging workers and food and resources. And then you get something like a rover ant, every single little pocket of those is its own unique colony. So that, you know, there are pros and cons there, because say I'm baiting for an Argentine ant colony, yeah, they're going to distribute some of those resources to some of those satellite colonies. But if I bait for rover ants, it's only going back to that colony that discovers it. So it presents some challenges. And if you're not familiar with that kind of colony structure, that can be an issue. And then if you just extrapolate that over the U.S., I feel sorry for the folks down in, you know, Florida and the southeastern U.S. where you've just got, I mean, the ant identification stuff out here in California, pretty simple compared to if you're a PMP and trying to identify ants in Florida.
Oh yeah, Florida is just a nightmare. I mean, with all pests, but really, you look at the ant species and everything that they have there. I couldn't imagine that. And I've never dealt with rover ants. You know, I've been dealing a lot with pavement ants, Argentine ants, a little bit of odorous and stuff when I was attacked. But yeah, that rover ant, you know, you've done some talks for us with on that, and I couldn't imagine trying to control those. It just seems like a nightmare. Because your thought process, like you said, has to be completely different with that. And you can't just think that because, you're baiting one area. So, it's kind of crazy with that. And I think it all kind of goes back, like you said, you know, really knowing where you're, what species you're identifying. I think that is the most critical thing that you're doing. Especially if you're not getting control of that. And you're constantly having to come back. You really got to take the time to step back and ID what you've got going on, because it's the only way you're going to get control.
Yeah, you really wrapped that up nice, because I kind of meandered. And the main thing is, ID. And because it's not just the ID, it's that you got to know that species has this type of colony structure, because like you just mentioned, it really dictates what your mindset is. And, you know, if I'm going out and treating for fire ants in Texas, that's, you know, the products I'm going to use, the whole service is completely different. Oh, so yeah, identification and having at least some knowledge of that colony structure is incredibly important.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Fire ants, that's a whole other thing. Oh, so yeah.
I don't miss those.
Not fun at all. Did you have to deal with those at all? You've gone out and worked with PMPs as far as doing fire ant control and everything?
To some degree, that was what I worked on, when I was, you know, back at Texas A&M. Okay. Here in California, I'd say in Riverside, I dealt with them here and there. The only time I've run into them up here once was in Stockton.
Really?
It was native fire ants. It wasn't the red imported.
Oh, okay.
But they were right outside of a commercial facility by the trash can outside by a picnic table. Nobody mentioned, nobody said anything. I just, you know, I was doing an inspection, walked over, was like, you got some fire ants here. The other time was in Rancho Cordova. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
By a branch for the company we had up there, an entomologist that worked with us, he said, I know where you can get some fire ants. And he was right. I hadn't been stung in a while, so that was a nice refresher.
It's like, that's what these do. Yeah, that's another ant species I wouldn't want to deal with. So, And I think you kind of mentioned this already as far as really the challenges that PMPs kind of deal with when they're dealing with ants. You know, what would be some of those other challenges? I think we've kind of alluded to those and kind of said some of those, but really let's just kind of lay those out as far as what have you seen have been those challenges that PMPs have faced?
I mean, something that comes to mind would be, you know, product selection. And that's, you know, if anybody's seen any of some of the videos or presentations that I've done over the last couple of years, it's not as simple as we talk about repellents and non-repellents. I think even, you know, years ago they found with deltamethrin that, you know, when this stuff dried, depending on if it was an SC formulation or depending on formulation, yeah. Once it dries, it's not necessarily that it's repellent, but when you're dealing with ants, you know, let's say I put that out there, well, you're relying on them recruiting over your material in order to get a high enough body count to really knock that population down. Yeah. If I kill them too quickly, they stop recruiting over that area. And then, you know, just they're going to, I use this example, like the velociraptors in Jurassic Park. You know, okay. They keep testing out the cages. They keep testing areas. Yeah. Ants are going to kind of do the same thing. Those foraging trails are going to keep going out. And until ants are coming back with resources, that's when they're going to start recruiting. So, you know, they send out a little foraging arm, they cross it and die before they can, you know, mass recruit over that. You're not going to get a high enough body count that leads to callbacks. And you're like, well, what's going on? So again, it's almost a slow versus fast kill. And, you know, for some ant species, that's great. You know, if I'm dealing with, you know, rover ants in particular, if I can find those little colony patches, really, whatever I use, as long as I'm taking out the colony, good to go.
Yeah.
But for something like Argentine odorous house ants, I really need them recruiting over that material for a long period of time if I'm going to get, you know, a high enough body count to really put a dent in that population. So, you know, in terms of product usage, it goes back to knowing kind of the colony structure. Do I want to use a fast or slow kill product? Can I find each one of these colonies? If I can't find the colony, now what do I do? How do I incorporate baits into my, into the service? Because, I would say baits have their place. Sometimes you need them, sometimes you don't. Like, it's, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
So. Exactly. And that's, exactly. And that's never more evident with ants. So, Ryan, when we're looking at, you know, everything we've just kind of talked about right now, what are really some common mistakes? I guess let's go with the top. I'm sure there's a lot of mistakes that PMPs make when they're dealing with ants. But let's just kind of extrapolate. Let's take really the top two, because I think with the top two, I think that's really going to help with the other mistakes that maybe PMPs are making with ant control. So, in your experience, what really have been the top two mistakes that you've seen with PMPs trying to control ants?
Yeah, it's going to be identification and then improperly treating for whatever species you're dealing with, which does kind of tie back into ID.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are the two biggest things. You know, talking with PMPs and, you know, talking with yourself, doing interior treatments a lot of times I wouldn't say it's not advised, but a lot of times it's not necessarily helpful because the infestation is coming in from the exterior. There are some species that will nest in wall voids. There are, you know, species that will be in the house. And so that, you know, obviously in that case, an interior treatment is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for a lot of these species, you know, if I'm dealing with on the West Coast, if I'm dealing with velvety tree ants, you know, Argentine odorous house, even rover for the most part, going into the, you know, southern part, southeastern part of the U.S., whether that's, you know, ghost ants, red imported fire ants, you know, even thief ants in some cases, you know, those infestations in a lot of cases, they're originating from the outside. And so, you know, if I'm going to bait on the interior, in a lot of cases, that's going to draw ants inside. They're reinforcing that trail pheromone. And so even when I get rid of those, you know, they kind of have the blueprint for, well, hey, this is a lot of ants we're going and, you know, feeding here. And even if it's not like the volatile trail pheromone, they have really long lasting, I shouldn't get into the weeds too much. There are long lasting pheromones that they can still identify months afterwards. So, you know, you're basically providing a highway to them. So if you don't have to treat on the interior, I would try to start, you know, by doing that on the exterior, depending on the species and situation.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that and everything. Yeah. You just shouldn't be looking at it where you're just hosing and going on the inside, because that's what Mrs. Jones wants you to do. Let me say that again. Mrs. Jones wants you to do. Who's the professional, Mrs. Jones or you, the PMP? So I think that's where technicians kind of get a little bit of fear in them, because they don't want to piss off Mrs. Jones. But you're the professional. You're doing the identification. You know what's the correct way to do it. So you guys just need to make sure that you remember that, that it's your license, it's your professionalism. That's what they're hiring you to do, not to be a spray jockey. And I think that's some good points that you made with that. And when we're looking at this, what really do you think technicians can do to really kind of speed up really and the treatment that they're doing and really the accuracy of that treatment that they're performing? What's really some things that they could do to help with that?
That's a really good question. And I would say most of the response that I have to that is going to be related to West Coast species. Because again, for like the Southeastern U.S., a lot of times you have such a diversity of species. I wouldn't be able to generalize.
Oh yeah. There's so many different species of ants. And just because what's here in Cali is different than what's in Texas, and oh my gosh, it's what's totally different than in Florida.
Yeah.
And then we're not even talking about swinging up into, you know, the Dakotas, or you're looking at stuff like up in that area. Yeah, it's just the United States is different, and we have stuff all over the place.
Yeah,
but
if I'm going to make generalizations out here, and we'll call this for Argentine and odorous house,
okay,
or similarly like unicolonial ants like that. Mm-hmm. The big thing I would say is, you know, your normal service, whether you do bi-monthly, quarterly, your service is, with the exception of some companies, maybe you're throwing out like a proactive treatment of, you know, fipronil or something like that.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, most people they're going and they're hitting it with the residual pyrethroid product, and then they're responding to whatever situation arises from those ants. So
yeah,
let's just say business model wise, leave that first treatment as is. When you get that first callback, that's where I would switch over to either slow acting product or implementing baits. And especially if now I'm on that second callback, because the proportion of accounts, you're not going to have too many that are in that like two callback range. But those ones you do get, that's a ton of wasted time, a ton of, you know, lost, you know, production, not being able to do estimates elsewhere. And so if I get those situations, now I'm carrying gel baits with me. I've got my hand can loaded with, you know, whether it's a fipronil, depending on where I'm spraying, whether it's a neonic, indoxacarb, you know, whatever product that I'm going to be using in this case. And I'm going to target the bases of trees. I'm going to target anywhere where they could be foraging, and then I'm going to use that bait in conjunction with those and do that kind of attract and kill approach. Because again, it's time intensive.
Yep.
You know, if you were guessing, it's what, somewhere between like $6-$9 per tube of bait, depending on what you're using, what your rebates are.
Yep.
But I'm going that route on that, you know, if it's a place I know I'm going to have issues with, or on my second callback there, because I don't want to have to go back out there again. Now you're not just dealing with windshield time and lost production, you're dealing with an irate customer.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Exactly. And that's not a good, yeah, you don't want to be dealing with an irate customer.
No.
So, and I think really when we're looking at that, I think really kind of the key point for you PMPs to really get out of the answer that Ryan just said, rotate your materials, use a different material. Like you said, you know, just don't keep going in with the same material, the same active, the same maybe chemical application, use some baits. I think that's the main thing that we want you to get out of that. And when we're looking at this, you know, what role really does MGK really have here as far as providing good solutions for ant control?
You know, previously before Samari Liquid and Samari Gel Bait, we didn't have anything specific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had residual products that you would apply as a barrier treatment, which again, that's your normal service, is that kind of preventative service. And the idea being, yeah, they cross your material and they die before they can establish, you know, any kind of trail going into your home. So that's all well and good. But now we start getting into those, you know, now I've got a callback. Now I've got two callbacks. That same residual pyrethroid material wouldn't necessarily work. And that's where Samari came in. And we, knowing that a lot of, yeah, now I'm getting a little off topic, but now a lot of those ant products are also used for German roaches. That's why with something like the Smart Liquid, you'll see that it says pyroproxifen, but that's Nygard, or IGR. Mm-hmm. It's not for the ants. That's in there because a lot of those products that you use for ant control have that crossover with German cockroach control. So for those of you that might be wondering, you know, why the heck is that IGR in there? It's not for the ants. And then Samari gel bait, you know, when you're looking at specifically the more carbohydrate based baits, that's, you know, the, your odorous house ants, your pavement ants will take pretty much anything. I said odorous house ants, Argentine ants, rover ants will take it. But you know that it's designed for ants like that. We don't have a granule, so when you're thinking of something like fire ants or carpenter ants, not necessarily the bait you want to be using for them. For those sugar loving ants, Samari gel bait's a great option.
It's going to be a great option. And it's kind of interesting with Samari when we're talking about not the bait, but we're talking about the liquid with Samari. There's a lot of benefits with that, and there's a lot more that that material can be used for. What's really kind of some of the benefits when we're looking at the Samari? Let's just break down as far as the, you know, the liquid concentrate when we're looking at that. What are some of the benefits with that?
Yeah, I would say the biggest benefit and the one that we're finding the more and more people trial this out is since we got the food handling or the FAT for Samari, which means you can use this in commercial and food on food surfaces and food handling establishments. That's been a big game changer in terms of cockroach control because, like I mentioned, we have the IGR in there. And for a lot of companies, you know, I mentioned the whole more than one way to skin a cat earlier. Pyrethroids and, you know, especially pyrethroids in conjunction with Synergists and IGRs, great products. They do well. But some people prefer a slower acting, something like a Neonic or Indoxacarb in terms of getting control of roaches and combined with an IGR. So Samari is just that Neonic with an IGR, and it's not like we skimped on the IGR. If you look at the high rate of Nygard, that's in there at the low rate of Samari, so at 1 ounce per gallon. And if for, you know, roaches on the label, if you look at that, it recommends 2 ounces per gallon. So you're getting more than double the high rate of Nygard when you do the high rate of Samari. So, I mean, you're getting adulticide in there, but you are getting a heavy dose of very long lasting IGR. And that's what we're getting feedback from people in the field is it's working in areas where they were having trouble with other products. Okay. So, you know, obviously results may vary.
Yeah, of course.
But we have gotten some really good feedback from people in the field for that. So if you're looking, you know, for a product, you know, if it, part of your protocol is a non-repellent or slower acting material with an IGR, you know, definitely give Samari a try. It's very good for those German cockroach accounts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it's kind of neat that it's in there. And I think that, you know, just what I've observed as far as the years being in this, you know, as far as technicians using IGRs, especially for like German cockroach control, sometimes they just kind of forget about that tool, and it's kind of nice to have something that already has it in there so they can really see the effects with that. And correct me if I'm wrong, with the Samari, you can use that in a PAS system, you can use that in an Actisol machine, something like that as well too. It's perfectly fine labeled for that.
Is that correct? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And being that emulsion in water, it's very stable. It stays suspended really nicely. Nice. So yeah, you're not gonna have to worry about it gumming up your equipment.
Yeah, because those two pieces of equipment I just mentioned, when they get gummed up with material or they're not, you know, you're not maintaining them correctly, you're using the wrong type of material in there. But it's just going to take those pieces of equipment down. And they're expensive, one, to replace, and then, two, also trying to figure out how to, you know, fix them from that error as well, too. So
definitely,
that's good that you can use that in there. Now, when we're kind of stepping back, we kind of delved a little bit into German cockroach control, but kind of to finish this off here, when we step back and look at this ant control, what really do you see the future of ant control being, either with MGK products or just kind of in general?
I would say in general, it's going to err on the side of, you know, where pest control is going in the first place, which is further restrictions on products, how you can apply those products.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't, with a few exceptions, I don't see any, like, you know, game changing active ingredients coming down the pipeline. And like, they're not saying that won't happen. It's just, it's a much slower and more expensive process for manufacturers at this point. So in general, it's going to be either kind of different formulations or improving upon the existing product. So even something like exploiting you know, pheromones to enhance control in certain scenarios. Maybe that would work out, but at any rate, I think the most important thing in ant control is basically what we talked about at the beginning. If you know the species and their colony structure, that's, you know, I would give a technician that really knew how to do their inspection and what they were looking for and knew what they were treating for. If I gave them a can of Raid, I would still take that over, an inexperienced tech with the best products, available. So yeah. It still comes down to, do you know what you're dealing with and where you can find it?
Yeah. I think that's really good. So, well, excellent, Ryan. We certainly do appreciate your time coming in here, talking about ant control, talking about Samari a little bit. So everybody will have a link to Samari there in the description. That way you guys can go find more information out about that if you're not using that product either in the liquid form or using the bait. We think it's a really good product. So again, Ryan, just thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Alrighty.
Thanks for listening to this production of the Pest Posse. Want to sharpen your pest control skills and knowledge? Then you don't want to miss out on PestPosseTV.com. Head over there for a treasure trove of video-based continuous training, weekly episodes, and so much more that will help you learn, grow, and succeed in this great pest control industry. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Pest Posse TV is your go-to resource for pest control-related training and information. It's like having a mentor and trainer right at your fingertips 24/7. Be sure to follow the Pest Posse on social media to catch the latest updates and exclusive sneak peeks into what's coming up next. Be sure to tell your friends, colleagues, your neighbor, heck, tell everyone you meet about the Pest Posse and the awesome content we provide. Until next time, remember, pest control is an adventure. So go out there and enjoy the adventure with Pest Posse TV.